Mark has been very kind to us when we had our conference, the Ezra Nehemiah conference in May. He had us on the radio, Doug Small, Eric Barger, and myself for the whole hour. We just greatly appreciated that. So, Mark, you can come and introduce your family, if you would. So let's welcome him this morning.
Thank you so much. You know, this church here in Wilson, Wisconsin, you guys making an impact all around the region, not just with that conference, but with different things that you've had with Energy Outreach. And I've known Jeremy and interacted with him, and you guys have, by faith, brought in different musical artists and speakers. It seems you're not content to just be here within your own doors, and you certainly have an outreach mindset that stands out amongst the churches, you know, not only through working at WWIB for about 28 years and the regional ministry there, but also with Teamwork Africa, as you'll learn here this morning. My wife and I, the last couple of years, we go to as many churches and small groups and backyard cookouts as will invite us, vacation Bible schools, north, south, east, and west, from where we live in Eau Claire, to bring this message. And you just learn there's all sorts of different churches, and so appreciate this one and your heart for outreach. My wife Peggy, you'll be hearing from probably more than me here this morning, and second best decision I ever made after receiving Christ was to ask her to marry me. Almost 15 years ago, we got married. And three of our four kids are here today, our three daughters. Evelyn is 13 in eighth grade. Grace is 10 in fifth grade. And Elena, eight-year-old third grader. So we'll hope to mingle with you a bit afterwards. But want to just use as much time as we have here this morning to lead into the story of Teamwork Africa. Because, as my wife and I say, we didn't set out to do this. We were on the road to somewhere else. Basically, we had looked at church planting in the past. I'd been a radio broadcaster, but certainly have a heart for sharing the gospel, for outreach like your church, and for and contemplated, would that be where God would have us to go? And it seemed like a couple of different times we went down that path, it didn't seem to materialize. But we had four kids, the youngest of whom was Elena, born in 2005. And even before that, my wife had heard from the Lord. It was a Sunday morning, a church service. I believe it was January of that year. She was pregnant with our fourth child, Elena. And she felt God speak to her during the worship that you have a son in Africa. And so she went out of the lobby and she prayed with some folks who are well-traveled in international missions, Greg and Kathy Smith, and told them what God was speaking to her. And so they prayed with her about that. And I know even when Elena was born in June of 2005, my wife was all ready to adopt, and I was just like, you know, whoa, we got to just put the brakes on for a little while and get used to having four. And so it took me about 17 months. That's usually about how far behind her I am, about 17 months behind. And so it was a Sunday morning, and Adoption Awareness Month, Focus in the Family Weekend was on WIB, and Stephen Curtis Chapman, one of our favorite Christian recording artists, who's known for his heart for adoption. His wife and him have done that and championed that cause. He quoted John Piper, as the pastor from the Twin Cities, as saying that adoption is the living gospel. And that was kind of like you had me at hello. And before the day was done, I think I told my wife, okay, I'm ready to pursue adoption. And we started by hearing about an organization from Wisconsin that was doing adoptions at $8,000 per child from Liberia, West Africa. And so we began by looking at that, but it just didn't seem to be the right time, and we explored other adoption from foster care to special needs, but lo and behold, we came back to Liberia, and we were exploring that. And now to pick up the story from there, I'm going to take you to a video that my wife recorded through a ministry that's become a wonderful partner of ours in Teamwork Africa, The Last Well, when she was in Liberia last August, so give that a look.
And this is the village of Thaisino. My husband and I went Good morning. I am Peggy Nyunga Halverson. And I am so excited to be with you today and so excited to carry that message that I promised those villages in Liberia that I would carry back with me and to be able to share it with you and to trust that God will move on your heart to respond in the way that He has already prepared you to respond. One of my favorite verses to share when I'm with people is first of all, that it's by the grace of God that we've been saved, and not by anything that we've done, but it's a gift. But then after that, Ephesians 2:10 says that God has created us in advance to do the good works that He's prepared for us. And so one of my challenges when I talk to people is, have you ever stopped to think about what it was that God prepared for you to do? What a difference God made for you to do in the world that you're in, right where you are with what you've got. What is it? And a lot of times people don't feel like God made them with a purpose, but that's not true because His word said that He did. And I think that sometimes we can look at the bad things that happen in our world and say, oh, it's terrible how things are going today. I just don't understand why God doesn't do something. And I think sometimes God is waiting for us to say, God, what is it that You've created me to do to fight against the injustice in this world? And I really believe that the reason why there's so many bad things happening in this world is because so few people have ever decided to do the good that God created them to do. And I'm really humbled and pleased that that in that moment, I cried out to God and said, God, why don't You do something? And God said to me, I am. Can I do it through You? And in my naivety, I said, okay. And it has been one exciting, scary, heartbreaking, joyful journey since then. And we just continue. Sometimes Mark and I just sit together and laugh at the things that God is doing right in front of us. Honestly, I'm an educator. I have an elementary teacher's degree, and I really wanted to be in church ministry, and I wanted God to use me in my life, but I never dreamed that God would use me in the way that He's using me today. And it's by the grace of God. I trust God in a way more deeply than I've ever trusted Him in my whole life, because I know that without Him leading and guiding me, I won't know what to do or how to do it. And as I have moved into this world of international ministry and I've come across other people who know better than I do how to do this stuff, and they look at, I tell them the stories of what God's doing through Teamwork Africa, and they just look at me wide-eyed with amazement and say, I have never seen anything like this happen in such a short time. And I go, really? That's not normal? Oh, I thought everybody worked like that. And it's just, again, that sign of, for me, just knowing that God's presence is with us and that He does want to do something at this time right now in Liberia. And you know, sometimes Mark and I talk and we say, we just wanted to adopt a child and then two. I mean, that's really like, that was the big plan I had for our lives. And just shortly, the update on that is Liberia continues to be closed to adoption. And there's been some steps over the last year in the government. Their Senate passed the adoption law and the parliament, approved it, and we're waiting for the president to sign it. But our Michael, who is 5 years old, when we first met him, will be turning 9 this year in November. And I've had the privilege of going to Liberia 5 times during that waiting season and spending time with him. And I'm thankful for every moment that we've been able to spend together. And he knows our family. He sees our pictures. We talk to him on the phone. He knows that we love him and that we're part of his American family. And he lives with our friend, Pastor Peter, in his family. And so we know that even though he's not with us physically in our family, that he is being taken cared of, and he is being loved. Pastor Peter's wife is a nurse, and so I know that he's being kept healthy and safe and being taught about God in that home, and we still pray that God will open up that door for him to come and be with us. But in the meantime, there's work for us to do. And we started with the clean water projects, and when Mark and I went to Teamwork to Liberia and Teamwork Africa was born, we said we want to work through local churches to meet physical and spiritual needs. We just see that that is how God has set it up in the Bible, that it was the church community that was created to help meet those needs. And so how can we help that church meet those needs? And so we started with the physical need of clean water, because anywhere you go in Liberia, if there's not clean water, that's the number one need. And it is just completely unacceptable. It's just not right that so many children die just because they don't have a clean glass of water. And I can't imagine being a mother and giving my child water, being uncertain of whether or not that water was going to cause my children severe illness, and not knowing what else to do. And so that is the foremost physical need that Teamwork Africa is meeting. This year we have a goal of putting in about 30 new wells and repairing 50 wells in Liberia. And the exciting thing about that project is that with each well that is repaired or installed as a new well, a group of Teamwork Africa pastors goes to that village at the well dedication and proclaims the gospel in every single village. And then those new believers, some of the villages we go in have no church at all. They just have their traditional animistic beliefs. And in some places there is a church, but maybe it's sort of drifted from the truth of the Bible. And in some places there is a good church. So there's always three of those different options. And so depending on the circumstances, our Teamwork Africa pastors will either start a small group for the new believers, and then one of our pastors will be in charge of visiting those believers, or we'll integrate them into a good Bible-believing church, or we'll try to work with that church that's drifted and see if they're open to returning to the truth of the Bible. And so there's a follow-up that's happening. Those new believers are not just left, you've said the prayer of salvation, now good luck. No, there's follow-up for those people, and there's discipleship and growth. But one of the struggles with that is that after Liberia's 14-year civil war, which ended in 2004, so they just celebrated 10 years of peace in Liberia. And I can tell you that I have never felt threatened or unsafe while I've been there. The people that I've met have no heart for that type of violence and senselessness that happened during that war. But during that time, the teachers left, the doctors left, the business people all left, and there's a whole generation of people who barely can read and write. And even our pastors lack a lot of formal education. And a lot of people are at a third grade reading level, and that's considered pretty good if you can at least write a sentence or sign your name. And so we're up against really challenging odds. So we started with our wells. We have our pastor team that are sharing the gospel. We're planting churches. But we need to educate these people. And I hear, we have a big disconnect between Christian church planting and church, like, or in school, because our government takes care of the school. We have a pretty, decent education system, but that's not the case in Liberia. They have free education, but Pastor Peter will tell you that it's free of teachers. They don't show up. It's free of desks. There's nowhere to sit. It's free of books, and you better bring your own pencil and paper, because it's free of that too. And so there's no way to learn. And one of the core reasons for poverty is a lack of education. And it also is a core reason why the gospel is hindered, because if you don't have a congregation of people that can read their Bible or comprehend the messages that are in there, you have a group of people that can't grow in their faith, and they can't become mature believers. And so one of our main projects this year is to start a school called Great King Academy. And the motto of that school is to be great, serve. And that's very countercultural to Liberian society, which is based on a tribal chiefdom where the chief in charge is the one who served. And so that follows throughout society. If you're a leader, people serve you. But we want to have a school that tells people that if you have been given the gift, the opportunity to be educated, then it's your responsibility to serve the people who haven't had that opportunity. And so we're very excited about that chance to provide a quality education, to be able to train teachers at our school in Monrovia to go to our villages to start schools there. So we have like an internship program where we can train teachers at our school and then send them on internship so that we can start village schools in those rural areas that have no hope of education at all. So now, Teamwork Africa has grown from wells and church planting and pastors and education. And what about the kids that don't have any moms and dads? What are we going to do for them? Pastor Peter asked us the night that Teamwork Africa was born. He said, what are we going to do about orphans and widows? And that was a big deal to Pastor Peter because he has a huge heart for kids. And during the Civil War, he and his wife were a young married couple. They had a couple small children of their own. And as they would run away from the fighting, they would pick up kids along the way that had lost their parents or been separated. And after the war, Peter started an organization that cared for over 200 orphans. And he would put them in foster families in his church, and he would supervise the, make sure that they had food to eat and that they were going to school. And another big organization picked up his program. And so as we were starting Teamwork Africa, he's like, well, there's still a lot of kids here who are in big trouble. And what will Teamwork Africa do for those children? And so we started a program called Starfish Kids. And the starfish story comes from, you may have heard it. It's an old story that's told about a guy who's walking along the beach and he sees a little boy up ahead of him and he's throwing something into the water. And as he gets up closer, he realizes that the boy's throwing the starfish back. And he says, what are you doing? And the little boy says, well, the tide is out and the sun is up and there's all these starfish washed up on the shore. And if I don't do something, they're all going to die. And the man, thinking that he's going to impart some practical advice to this little boy, says, son, there are miles and miles of beach, and there are hundreds, there are thousands of starfish here, and just, you know, picking them up one at a time isn't going to make any difference. And the little boy picks up one more starfish and looks at it, and he throws it back in the water, and he looks up at the man, and he said, well, I made a difference to that one. And that is a source of encouragement and hope for us because there are hundreds, there are thousands of children in Liberia that need our help. And right now we can't reach them all. But just because we can't reach them all doesn't mean we can't reach some. And each one of us can make a difference to one. And just recently, Christianity Today did a research project or reported the results of what child sponsorship programs do. And they found out that sponsoring a child really does make a difference. And one of the things I really liked about that is not just that a child that's sponsored goes further educationally, is able to get a better job, but that child's concept of who they are as a person. Wes Stafford from Compassion International called it the hope factor. He said that one of the, besides education, we all know that education can help prevent poverty, but he said one of the other core reasons for poverty is a person's self-worth and what they think about themselves and what poverty tells them they are. And that children caught in poverty don't feel loved or cared for. They don't have hopes and dreams. They can't imagine a life better than what they've ever had. And a child that's sponsored is told somebody cares about you. Somebody sees you worth investing in. Somebody wants to make a difference for you. And I can tell you firsthand the difference between seeing a child when we take their picture that first time and going back to that child with a letter from their sponsor or a picture from that family and just seeing that child run with a happy face. And I asked Peter once, I said, what do you think is the biggest difference between a sponsored child and an unsponsored child? And honestly, he said, well, I think that child is just secure in knowing that tomorrow there will be food to eat. And just to think about that for a moment, you know, what it's like to be a mom or a grandma taking care of children and not sure in the morning when you wake up how you're going to feed those kids at the end of the day and what it means to get a bag of rice from your church because your child's in the sponsorship program and you know that this month your family will have food to eat. And so that's our Starfish Kids program. All these things are wrapped together because we can't just help one family at a time. And we have, you know, we get a well, but then what? And our goal, you know, if you look at the symbol of Teamwork Africa, is one person reaching out their hand to help another person up. And that's where our Village Transformation Project comes in because we believe that Liberia is full of fertile soil. They've been able to feed themselves and grow their own crops, and the war just sort of derailed that for a long time. But we think that they're smart people. people, and they're skilled, and they're talented, and they've been given gifts from God just like we have, and that if we could help them dream, if we could invest in them, that they would be able to figure out the best way to provide for their own communities. And so we have sponsored Moses Quainetan, I mentioned in the video, received a village transformation project, and that village decided that one of the projects they wanted to invest in was a pig pen project. And so they built a pig pen and bought some quality hogs, and so they're raising pigs. And their goal is, once that's established, to be able to start the village next to them with the same type of project. So help them build a pig pen and then give them some hogs and be able to spread that blessing that they've started. That's an important part of what we're trying to do. And we also are starting a microfinancing program for some of the widows. And actually, several of the moms and grandmas that are taking care of the starfish kids also enrolled in what we call the Widow's Oil Project. And that's a group of 3 to 4 women who get a micro loan to do a business. And then as they pay their loan back, then their business is growing. And I'm really excited. That just started a few months ago. And all of those ladies have made their first couple payments back, and the program is going really well. So we're excited about how that will really impact the future of Liberia, as some of those starfish kids then will graduate from the program because their families won't be in need of that type of sponsorship, and then we'll have room for some of those other kids that really do. Pastor Peter has been blessed just outside of Monrovia with a piece of property where we're building Great King Academy. And across from that, we have a foundation for a medical clinic. And we dream someday of having a base clinic there in a mobile medical unit where we can carry medicine to outlying villages where they don't have any medicine and they're too far away from clinics to get help. And so you can just see that this just from one thing to another just continues to grow. And we just watch God and just watch where he's pouring out his blessing. And I just want to challenge, gonna add? Okay. I just want to challenge you today. What areas God would have you be part of what we're doing, or maybe there's another project that you know, yep, this is a thing God's moved on my heart. But we can't do this alone. This is not something that Mark and I have done single-handedly by any means, but there's been hundreds of people that have partnered either through child sponsorship or just giving to the Well Project. One of the really exciting partnerships we have is with the Last Well, and they match our donations. And so right now it costs about $4,000 to put in a new well, and if we raise $2,000, the Last Well matches it for a brand new well. And that's the best deal you can find anywhere, I think. And so sometimes small groups of people will decide, let's do a garage sale or a dinner and raise enough money to put in a well. And then our goal is to be able to tell you how the gift that you gave impacted an entire community with clean water and the gospel message. And so there are brochures on the back table, and it talks about all the different ministries that we're part of. And inside there's a form where if you are interested in becoming a monthly partner, you can do that. If you would just like to make a donation for the Clean Water Project or for whatever thing has moved your heart today, you can certainly do that. And then there's also a sheet that talks about, you know what, I maybe don't have a lot of finances to give right now, but I have some skills. I have some gifts that I can do to be part of doing something right where I am with what I have, and I want to do that. And so there's a sheet out there that talks about different ways that you can help us speak to other churches and small groups and volunteering in ways. Maybe you like to sew. I have a lot of sewing projects that you can be part of, and I just really feel like there's a place in this ministry for everybody. Even if you're not the person who's ever going to go to Africa, if there's something that you'd like to do to be part of what we're doing to change the world in a village, we would certainly love to talk to you more about that.
Just want a chance to amplify some of what Peggy had said, and that is, she mentioned the Last Well there near the end, and this is an example of Zechariah 4:6 in action. Zechariah 4:6 is the verse we put on our Teamwork Africa t-shirts this year, and it says this: not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And we have seen that time and time and time again, where God's spirit the same spirit that hovered over the waters in the beginning, the same spirit that inspired the writers of Scripture, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in action and with us. Because we came back from our first trip together as a couple in March of 2011, and I had a guest who was bringing a survivor of sexual slavery from Ghana. And Terry was her name, a woman from Virginia. And when I said, we talked about Ghana and the lobby, getting ready to do the interview. And I said, boy, we were just in Ghana on our way to and from Liberia. We landed in Ghana briefly. And I told her about our work, that we were launching Teamwork Africa. And the desire to, through the local church, meet the spiritual, physical, and social needs of the people. And she said, oh, you've got to get a hold of this guy in Virginia, who later moved to Texas, a pastor named Todd Phillips, because he's got a ministry going called The Last Well, and it's all about two things, the gospel and clean water to all of Liberia by the year 2020. We hadn't heard of them. We'd learned a lot about Liberia. We'd never heard of this. And so we got a hold of him. Do you think that's paid off? They match all of our water donations. So, and this guy's now in Texas. He's doing this full time, Todd Phillips. I mean, they're the ones who did the video that you saw with Peggy. I mean, they've used that video a lot in their own ministry to raise funds. And so it's not about The Last Well, and it's not about Teamwork Africa, and it's not about Calvary Assembly of God. It's about what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's about the church of Jesus Christ. God is going to build his church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And so like Peggy said earlier, I think in the video, it's what God is doing. And so what we're inviting you this morning is to partner with us as we've partnered with The Last Well in what God is doing. And so one of the things that God is doing is in a land where there was a 14-year civil war, that he is helping to meet spiritual, physical, and social needs through people who wouldn't know any better, who are just trying to adopt a couple of boys, through people who are just trying to put in a well. And then when she went to visit the well, since they couldn't read the inscription, who just wanted to put in a school. And now it's grown like wildfire. Remember what Gamaliel said in the book of Acts? He said, you know, here's some things on this whole deal with these believers. I mean, if this isn't of God, it'll peter out like other movements. But if this is of God, ain't nothing you can do to stop it. And this is of God. And there's nothing Satan can do to stop it. And he's tried. He's tried. But the fact of the matter is that we're inviting you to partner with us. And again, Wells is exciting. Because if we raise $2,000, and the price has gone up a little bit, but if we raise $2,000, The Last Well matched that. For every $2,000 we raise, they match that. But with that, Peggy said earlier, it's not just the clean water, it's also the gospel. And so in relation, we just had a board meeting yesterday. We've got board members from Iowa and Minnesota and from here in Western Wisconsin, and we had a board meeting and a team meeting, and the point was, one of the things that's exciting is, and Peggy's gonna tell you a little bit more about this, is a jetpack. Now, we send our Teamwork Africa, wherever these wells are going in, that we have a team who goes in and shares the gospel, and she's got some incredible stories she could share that have happened with that. But the fact is that what this jetpack would allow is for them to carry on their, and going into villages where they don't have electricity, right? I mean, they don't have clean water, they don't have electricity, but that you would have the wherewithal to show the Jesus film in their language. And it's been amazing and powerful and successful where it's been used in other places, and we want one. And we want to bring it this November, when Peggy's going to go in about November 11th or 12th, and I'm going to follow on November 21st, and we're going to celebrate our 15th wedding anniversary in beautiful, luxurious Liberia. And so, but that's where God's called us, you know. We wanted to get married and do ministry together. We didn't know it was going to look like this, but here it is. And so I just believe even this morning that, I mean, as she said, I mean, if God's calling you to child sponsorship, there are going to be some, do we have some kids pictures? Okay, well, anyhow, there's kids. I want to tell you, it's something worth celebrating. Is we've got, you know, we started off just the brilliant name of Starfish Kids, and we've got, you know, a few Starfish Kids here and there. The last I knew it was at 40. Guess what? We now have 71 kids that are being sponsored at the tune of $50 a month. And for some, it's some people say, I can only do a half sponsorship. We say, fine, that's $25 a month. Others, it's $50. And it might be, what that is, it's $35 to $45 just for a bag of rice. And then the rest, we say, spend it as you need. But maybe, or maybe it's the clean water and you want to do what you can in that regard, because everybody loves the idea that, I mean, we pool our resources together, 2,000 can be matched and you can put in a well. Clean water, just like that. We just think nothing of it, right? This little girl at Ladysmith Church of Christ just a couple weeks ago, maybe you saw it on WEAU TV 13, little Hope Berkey. I mean, we just saw her last weekend. Just God's strength is made perfect in weakness. She said that it doesn't make any sense that we think nothing of getting the clean water. And there, the kids are dying of dirty water. And they raised $4,000 to put in two wells. So maybe that's your thing. Or I got to say that the jetpack is on our hearts coming out of this board meeting yesterday, because one way or another, we're getting the jetpack there. And we would love it if you today, led by the Spirit, would partner with us and give like the widow gave in Matthew 21. Gave in faith, believe, because I know this is an outreach-minded church. I know you have a heart for the lost, and I know Jeremy the best of anybody in this church. But if he's anything like the rest of you, I mean, I know you got a heart to meet physical and spiritual needs. So that's why we've been excited and looking forward to coming here to be with you. Pastor said in talking to him that he sometimes goes till 12:15. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let Peggy tell you a little bit more about the jetpack, and then give you the chance, if you have some questions that you want to ask her, we want to give you that opportunity. But can you just tell us a little bit more about the jetpack?
It's a really cool name, isn't it? Sounds like the thing you strap on your back, it'll fly you somewhere. It's not. You do strap it on your back, but it's a there's an organization out of Canada that has done research to find the best durable materials that are lightweight enough that you can carry them into a village on your back, and it has all the components that you need. The screen, a generator, the iPod that you need to have the movie on, and the projector. It has microphones and a sound system and the speaker. So it has everything that you need to carry into a village that has no power, no plumbing, nothing, and set up the Jesus film. And then, like Mark said, to play it in the language of those people. And as our well program has just continued, we were able to go to probably about 50 villages last year. In the month of July, I think we got a really great donation, and we were able to, oh gosh, I wish I could remember exactly how many villages were on that proposal. Probably about 20 villages just in July and August. And so we are really wanting to do the best job that we can, to be the most effective that we can in sharing the gospel. And our friends in Liberia have told us that having this a sound system and having the Jesus film would really draw people to the place where they can hear the message of the gospel. And we want to do everything we can to get that message to the people that have never heard it before. And so we would just love it if you would partner with us to help make that a reality.
And so if you have a question or a comment you want to make, we're going to give you, I love interaction. I've been doing a talk show for 21 years. So, I mean, we want to interact with you this morning. If go ahead.
What's the cost of the jetpack?
$5,000. So if you want to write a check out for that, it'd take one person. One person to write a check out for $5,000, two people, $2,500. If five people want to write a check out for $1,000, 10 people at $500, whatever. Or if we raise $2,500 here this morning toward the jetpack, then I'll be on the phone tomorrow calling other churches and saying, do you want to match that? You know, whatever. But we're going to get it there. So, somebody else. Yeah.
Pele. Liberia was founded by freed American slaves, and so there's a lot of things in Liberia that are very similar to the United States. Their government is set up like ours, and English is the official national language. However, there are 16 dialects, and so if you've had a chance to go to school, you speak English. But if you've never been to school, then you just speak your tribal language. So when we go to the interior, we need translators, but we're in Monrovia, we can speak English.
Yeah. Yes, and back. Our kids haven't gone yet, but it's about $1,500 for a round trip ticket. So we're trying to raise the funds we can. Yeah, in back, son.
Like to send a car?
We've sent some things. We've sent a truck, and then we've sent a second truck. You could tell about that.
Well, that actually brings up a really fun story. One of the biggest problems with our village transformation project is that Liberia is very agricultural, and so they can grow crops, but then they have to transport them from rural villages to the market, and the cost of transportation is so high that they don't really make any profit at all. And so for the past 3 years, Pastor Peter has been praying for an 1117 Mercedes flatbed truck. Okay, so I've had several people try to find this truck, and it's a Mercedes. It's really not common in the United States. I can find plenty of them in Belgium, but they're not here. And how do you get a truck from Europe to Africa? And so after we came back from our trip in March, in April, and a friend of mine called me. And she said, "I found a Mercedes at auction in Alma Center." I'm like, okay. So we blue booked it. We were trying to figure out, this truck is valued at about $17,000. So I called our board and I said, how much do you think, what's the maximum you think that I could bid on this truck? And they're like, don't go a penny over $5,000. We're like, okay. So we got into, I went with some friends. I had a mechanic that was going with me so we could look at the truck before we bid on it. And I told them right away, I said, I just want to let you know, I don't really think we're going to be able to get this truck today because I have a third of the value of this vehicle. And so, thanks for going with me. We'll just see what God does. But it had been a really trying time previous to that. Some really difficult things had happened. And so even though I was doubting in my heart, I don't know if you ever do this, I prayed a prayer that said, God, things have been really hard lately, and I want you to bless us today. Today, would you bless us? And so we got there. It was the last truck to be auctioned. We were there all day long. And I don't do auctions, and it makes me really nervous. And so my friend put on his sunglasses and his game face, and he's going to do the bidding for us. And at the end of the day, at the end of that bidding, we won the truck for $1,700.
One tenth, right, of the $17,000 that we understood it to be worth. And he is a mechanic. I'm going to plug him, Elliott's Automotive in Eau Claire. If you need your car service, it's a great one. And wonderful Christian guy and a heart for ministry that is wholehearted. And he's checked it out, and amazingly, it is on its way.
Well, okay, so I named the truck. Vehicles in Liberia have names. And so I named that one God's Portion because it was a tenth of the value that we expected it to be. But so now we have this truck. And now what are we going to do with it? It's huge. It's a 25, foot flatbed. It's 8 feet across the front. And we're trying to figure out how to get it into a cargo container. And what's that going to cost? And we have to dismantle it to fit it into it. And so this summer, we're just between trying to do a bunch of fundraising to pay for the shipping cost and then figure out the logistics of how to do it. It was just getting really hard. So again, just going, well, God, I don't know what your timing is. And to make a really, really long and boring story short, at the end of this summer, a church invited me to come in and share with their leadership team the needs of Teamwork Africa. And they said, what do you need to ship the truck? We'll write out the check.
It's a big church.
And the truck was shipped to Liberia last Tuesday.
That's another one.
So we do send trucks to Africa.
Any other questions? Yes. Well, there's now a guest house. There's a guest house that Peter has these 10 acres called New Life Community. And that's where he's built the school. But the first thing he built was the guest house. So when people come and they pay the certain amount, but then you get your room and board taken care of. And we have a wonderful woman, Marta, who does our cooking. And so that's where we stay. Now, and again, they don't have electricity, but they run a generator for power. So it's not the Holiday Inn, but I mean, it's pretty good. And the roads are horrendous. I mean, the roads are really, really bad. In fact, even when we tell people, Peggy was a part of a team that went in April, three other women, I think. And so you tell them it's really, really bad. And I don't know what you get in your mind. You think of maybe the worst potholes that you've got around here. And you think, oh, it's like that in a few different, it's like, no, it's way worse. I mean, it's just, and then it's not like, you know, you get so used to a bunch of road construction crews out. Even I saw them yesterday in Eau Claire on a Saturday morning. I mean, you see hardly any of that. And it's been more than 10 years now since the war ended. So, I mean, one time, I mean, pictures that stay with you. One time as we were into the interior, the villages area of where the field forgotten, I saw two little girls putting sand in a pothole. I mean, two little girls, you know, that was just, wow. Can you share about, talk about, because we're talking about the jetpack, but the well and clean water, and there's some stories. I know one that comes to mind in terms of the mom, but there's a couple of different stories.
Well, Pastor Peter is a dreamer. He has great faith in God, and he has great faith in what God will do through us, which scares me sometimes. But last year, in the first year of Teamwork Africa, we were able to put in 6 wells, and we were so happy. And so we're getting ready for the next year, and I said, Peter, can you evaluate some more places and maybe, you know, like 10 to 12 places where we can target? I'm thinking, I'm doubling, right? You know, we did 6 wells last year, 10 to 12, that's a double. He comes back with a repair list of 103 wells that he wants to fix. And I'm like, this is God-sized. And so we start, you know, tackling and start letting people know what's going on and start making our way down this list. And there's a village that was number 57 on the list. Mm. And they had a cholera outbreak before we could get there. And several children in that village died. And it was really heartbreaking to me because they were on the list. And I'm like, we didn't get there in time, you know, like, God, come on, we're doing the best that we can. Eventually we did get to that village and the well was repaired. I can't remember if it was a repair or a new well that went in. And one of the mothers that lost 2 of her children received Christ when the message was shared in that village. But as she cried on Peter's shoulder, she said, why didn't you get here sooner? I lost 2 of my children in that outbreak. And, you know, God's ways are sovereign, but there's real stories of real people who are really suffering, and we can do something to make a difference there. And there are other places, you know, that we get there. We will only know until heaven how many lives were changed and saved because we did get to number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 before there was a cholera outbreak. And so it's easy to count the losses. It's harder to know the successes, but we do know that in almost every village there that the gospel is going out and that people are responding. However, there is real spiritual warfare happening in Africa, and there's a lot of spiritual darkness, and there's certain villages that we go in that have dedicated themselves to that darkness. And when our pastors go in there to share the gospel and use the name of Jesus, sometimes they are politely asked to leave, and sometimes not so politely. And depending on the circumstances, they decide whether they're going to leave or not. Liberia is very, hospitality is a big deal. So if you are asked to leave, that is a huge insult. There was one village that some of our pastors were with last year, and they have a tradition in that village of poisoning their young men and women as a sacrifice to their ancestors. And so the older people in that village didn't want to hear the gospel, but the younger people really did. And so our pastors stayed and shared the gospel, and 4 young men in their 20s received Christ. And we're praying for that group of those 4 men to become a core of a Christian Bible-believing church, that as they grow older, God preserves their lives, that they would be able to change that tradition in their community. But there, you know, there are definitely places where we're stirring up, you know, the darkness, and it fights and pushes against us. And so, again, I talked about, you know, partnering with us financially and partnering with us in volunteer hours, but really, really, if you would take one of our brochures, put it on your refrigerator, stick it in your Bible, and pray for us on a regular basis, pray for our pastors there. I can't think of any greater gift that you could give to God and to us than that.
So, in conclusion, If you have another one last chance for questions, otherwise we'd be glad to stand by our table as long as you want to talk with us. We're going to invite Pastor Manning to come back up and help close the service. But, just different ways that, again, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The Lord continues to move. We've had a local TV news anchor who heard our story recently, was invited to a silent auction spaghetti fundraiser, and she has become a starfish parent. And she heard the story of Hope Berkey, and she recommended that at a news meeting, and it led to that story being covered. And she let us know this week that she's also recommended they do a longer story on Teamwork Africa in November. I've thought a lot of times as a media guy, I'm kind of torn. I give myself at my radio job, but then there's, I've been feeling we should get the story out in the media, but the Holy Spirit's doing it and moving on people's hearts. And a friend who heard our story, we invited to come, talented songwriter, singer, we invited him to come in November. He's not going to be a part of doing that. But the other night, he sent us a song he wrote based on the Teamwork Africa story called Cool Clean Water. And we're excited about that. And he wants to record it. And we've invited him to our next celebration. We have had a couple of these at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. You're all invited on March 28th, where we celebrate what God has done, is doing, and will do through Teamwork Africa. Sir, you had a question? Back? No? Okay. All right, I mistook that. Okay, last chance questions. Okay, yes?
My daughter wanted to know how many people are in the villages.
I know that Pele Tiama used to be was about 700. It seems like that's standard. That's pretty, sometimes.
I kind of want to know why they got to be a Mercedes and what other kind of equipment could they use over there?
Yeah, the Mercedes, the brand name Mercedes truck is a truck that they have parts for in Liberia. So some of our domestic cars we can't send because they can't repair them. But this is the type of commercial truck that they know how to fix. That's why he wanted that kind.
Same thing with the other truck we'd sent earlier, which we called God's Goodness, was a Toyota 4Runner because they have parts for Toyotas over there. Was there another question over here? Yeah. 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 Okay.
Not yet.
Plane trips would be nice as opposed to the bumpy roads, but I'm told that they're working on them. Yep.
And you mentioned about the fertile soil. And what is the rainfall there? I mean, is enough rainfall to be able to grow crops?
Yeah. The rainy season between April or May into through September is like over 200 inches, which is the rainiest capital in the world. Monrovia being the capital of over a million. As you know, it used to be about 400,000, but so many people fled there during the war that a lot of emptying out of the interior. So, any other questions? Thank you so much for inviting us this morning, Pastor.
Wow, there's it's always great to give to something that God is blessing. So we certainly have that opportunity to give today to something that God is really in. I'm just amazed listening to them that the number of different ministries that has opened up, and I'm sure that they mentioned something that touched your heart today. So I want to ask you to dig deep and give to the best of your ability today, knowing this, that whatever it is, God's going to multiply that to do tremendous things. So would the ushers please come, and I would also just ask that you remain open, that maybe God will speak to you this week or in the next few weeks, and what you could do maybe more. If you're making a check out today, you can write out to the church, Calvary Assembly of God, and we'll write out one check. So, and maybe just to save a little bit of time, if you guys would stand, the Halverson family and those of you guys, the ushers, if you could just lay your hand on them, let's just pray for them. Normally, I know we like to gather around and pray for missionaries that we send out, but let's do this morning. Father, we thank you for this ministry that you definitely have raised up. Lord, we thank you for the Halverson family sharing their heart and their burden today, Lord. We really sense it, and I believe that many were touched here today and feel that burden as well. Lord, I ask that you would protect them as they travel back and forth, Lord. I ask that you would just continue to meet every need of the ministry. Continue to give them vision, Lord, and the faith that they need to see those visions become reality. Lord, open up the laws of adoption there. Lord, just provide in every way possible. You are Jehovah Jireh. We sang about you today. Lord, it's not just a song. It's who you really are. You are our provider. Thank you, Lord, for the provision, and thank you for these offerings today. And again, we just ask that you would bless it, you would multiply it like you did the loaves and the fishes to meet the needs of people. In Jesus' name, amen.